joined always by Steve on the B-side. Gotta make time for the... What's the song that you guys used to use?
Nobody listens to the B-side.
I hope somebody listens to the B-side. It'd be nice. Today on the B-side, we're talking about swearing and Christianity. So, in order to prep for this, I have gathered a list of words that I think we need to go through, and you can tell me, Steve, are they appropriate to use in ministry or my personal life or both? So let's start with my first word. First swear word of the day is...
Are you sure this is the best way to do this?
Is there a better way?
Maybe. Let's see if we can find one.
Okay. I'll scrap my list and should we could start with biblical principles?
Sure.
To harsh language?
So swearing, should we do it? What's interesting is like why this is actually a bit of a debate. For some people they can't imagine this being a debate, but it can be, is because the Bible doesn't actually give us a certain list, clear list of things to say and not say. Part of that is because swearing, part of it is cultural, right? Like certain words, why is it that we are offended by certain words and then we're not offended by other words? Hmm. Certain words are viewed as, you know, even things like, okay, so it's okay to say bowel movement. Doctors say it. It's very polite and proper. Mm-hmm. But other words for the exact same act become increasingly offensive.
Yeah.
And you could come up with different words, yeah, right? Going in a list of why.
Harsh,
well,
harsh
culture is the only reason that determines which words are vulgar and which are not. Now, some things are describing vulgar acts and vulgar things, so they always have an inherent level of vulgarity to them. But other things, just like, why is this word harmful or hurtful or offensive, and why is this one not? Culture determines, and you could go to a different country and a word would be offensive. In this country, it's not offensive.
Well,
and certain
acts,
like, why is it that the middle finger is offensive here, but maybe in other cultures it means nothing? It's just a pointing finger, and it's a different sign.
Yeah. Or the Olympics, when the Canadians were wearing all their roots stuff down in Australia. Do you remember that?
No.
And the word roots in Australian or their culture and context has to do with sex.
Oh.
And it's like all the Canadian sweaters are sponsored by Roots. And
oops.
It was, I remember reading a newspaper article about it because it was probably before the internet when those Olympics happened.
Yes, in the newspaper.
So
the Bible being, this is kind of the cool thing about it, instead of just listing a bunch of ancient Greek words that are offensive and going, don't say these words, it instead focuses on other things. It focuses on intent, heart, and things like that. So
therefore,
instead of
going beyond culture.
Yeah, because the Bible's a transcultural document. Christianity is a transcultural faith. It's not bound to one culture. So we have to go beyond just... I think you just have to go beyond which words can we use.
Mm.
Because... So I'm going to actually argue that in a certain context, a word may be... A somewhat offensive word may be appropriate.
Hmm.
And in other contexts, maybe even a so-called less offensive word is inappropriate because it has to do with more intent, heart, and what we're describing and how we're using it. So, I mean, I think the first principle, let's look at some Bible passages.
Yeah.
The first thing, you could look at the Ten Commandments. One of the Ten Commandments is you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. So
my
there,
biggest pet peeve.
Yeah.
Like when I hear it, I cringe inside.
So one category, because there's different kinds of kind of bad words. One category is if we're, and like, so using the Lord's name in vain, I think would be any time we use a name for God in a way that is not filled with awe, reverence, prayer. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that could kind of fill that category, but I think just throwing around God's name, either as a swear word or just flippantly,
or
we're not showing
you're
reverence.
You're frustrated with something, and all of a sudden it's
why
like,
are you bringing God into it?
Yeah.
So that's a category, and I actually, and in some ways that's an example of where it's not so much the word but the intent.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say Jesus Christ as part of a prayer or part of a sermon.
Yep.
I'm telling people about Jesus Christ. Or I can use the exact same words because I stubbed my toe.
Yeah.
Or someone could use those words out of shock, you know. So it's not about the word; it's about how you're using it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one category that I think is important that the Bible speaks to, and to speak with. We should always speak about God and the Lord Jesus with reverence and awe and worship, and not using his name flippantly like that.
Okay. So using the Lord's name in vain, a no-no.
Another category I think of that covers a lot of this is Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 says this. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Hmm. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. I could have just read just verse 29, but I kept going because I think there's a larger context about how we treat each other. Mm-hmm. So I think there, the question we should ask is this language that I'm using, is this word that I'm using, is the way that I'm speaking, yep. is it corrupting? Other translations say unwholesome. Is it tear down?
Yep.
Is it destructive? Is it helpful? Is it grace-filled?
The
is
opposite it, of the commands of yeah, to build one up? Another or yeah. encourage one another and spur each other on.
So
is swearing or cussing or even speaking harshly to someone doing so? No. Yeah. It's yeah. not. So
I think another category of language is that which is directed at a person.
Mm-hmm.
I think anytime you're tearing somebody down, even if it's so there, it could be even a mild word, yep. but if your intent is to tear someone down, you're swearing at yep. someone, even just using harsh words at yep. someone, calling
whether
them,
it's a fool or yeah. or going way off the deep end with your language, it's still wrong.
You are this person is made in the image of God; they mm-hmm. have value, and if you're dehumanizing them and devaluing them by tearing them down,
yep.
That's what he's talking about here. Instead, we should be people that build each other up.
Yeah.
Now, there's actually an exception to this I'm going to get later. So there's a teaser. So it's because we'll get to that in a sec. But so language that tears people down, that's not who we should be. Instead, it talks about kindness and forgiveness and, you know, loving our neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So is this language loving our neighbor? And then I think another passage to dwell on, people could read, I don't know if we're going to go through all of it, but James chapter 3
mm-hmm.
talks about the power of the tongue and how destructive it can be, and it kind of uses the different metaphors, the way that a rudder steers yep. a whole ship. Small thing steers a whole big ship.
Yep.
A small spark can start a big fire. The tongue is the small thing, but it can control, it can do a lot of damage, mm-hmm. and that the followers of Jesus should be people that control their tongues,
yeah.
and is it going to bring life or is it going to bring death? It can yeah. do either.
We're not walking around, you know, if yeah. if our heart and body and the way we live is in the right spot, we're not walking around like giant bubbles full of swear words where the second something pokes us the wrong way, out slips this word or that yeah. word.
You know, James 3:9, talking about the tongue, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? And it kind of goes on, but it's the idea of the sort of hypocritical or the yeah. way your mouth is doing both praising God and cursing others. Mm-hmm. And this is not good. Like, be consistent, be wholesome, speak well. Those are kind of some of the principles, right? Is we should be, our language should be loving our neighbor, mm-hmm. building others up, not tearing down, not corrupt. And out of from the tongue and out of the mouth, it reveals the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, it's cursing. It matters, but it mostly matters because of the heart that it reveals.
Yeah.
So we should. So in some ways, the answer isn't watch your tongue. It is, but it's mm-hmm. actually watch your heart.
Yeah.
Because if we are dealing with the heart, the tongue will follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some ways we want the Bible to give us a list of words we should or shouldn't say,
yeah.
but instead it's just a lot more concerned with what our heart
yeah.
is, what's going on in our heart and how we think about others.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now the other thing we should say about this is the Bible, meanwhile,
in the also, meantime,
the Bible also, I don't think the Bible's saying only use nice words all the yeah. time and only nice words and no harsh words, because the Bible itself uses harsh words.
Yeah. It's the whole, if they made the Bible into a movie, it would be rated R.
Yeah.
Like, for language and violence and nudity and everything.
But what we see in the Bible is harsh words used to describe harsh things.
Mm-hmm.
Strong words for strong things. You don't see harsh words for mild things.
Yeah.
Which I think is what some of the problem with cussing is. You stub your toe and out come all these, the shocking litany of phrases. but instead, so some examples. The prophets trying to get the attention of unrepentant mm-hmm. Israel will sometimes use harsh imagery, harsh language, calling them names, not to demean them, but to shock them and reveal their sin, and to describe what they're doing in a way that will grab their attention. And Jesus also, but what we see with Jesus, for instance, notice the language of Jesus with the Pharisees, people who have power and control and are using their power and control to control the average people, to lead them away from him. I mean, ultimately, there's a corruption with the Pharisees to the degree that they kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And look at his language for them. Like Matthew 23.
Yeah.
He says, you guys are like a cup that are clean on the outside, filthy on the inside. You guys are like pretty tombs inside. It's shiny, beautiful on the outside. Inside is full of death. You guys are a brood of vipers. You're snakes. He calls them hypocrites. He uses some pretty harsh language. He doesn't use nice words for them because they are abusing the people.
Yeah.
And so, and yet he speaks very differently when he's meeting with anyone who comes to him humbly, repentant. Think of the words he uses for even someone caught in sin.
Yeah, the woman at the well. Or kindness.
Any number of encounters. Think of all the... He's so gentle. He sometimes is drawing something out of them. Sometimes he's prodding them a bit.
Yeah.
But it's out of love and it's wanting to help them come to the knowledge of the truth. And yet when he's dealing with people that are leading people astray,
the corrupt,
very harsh
the Pharisees,
words.
The self-righteous. And that's where we see even the example of Paul when he talks about his self-righteousness.
Yes.
And just being waste, being crap, being...
Yeah.
How harsh is that word? We don't understand the full context of what, maybe even what word he used.
Paul does a similar thing, right? Yeah. So you think of like 1 Thessalonians. The guy's gentle. And he's like, oh, I was like a nursing mother with you and gentle as a father. And he's so affectionate for them and he loves them. So sometimes Paul's just gentle and affectionate with people. And then like the book of Galatians, he's mad.
Yeah.
Because... these false teachers have come along and led the Galatian Christians. They're on the verge of abandoning the gospel to get circumcised and to adopt the works of the law as a means of salvation. They're about to leave the gospel and walk away from salvation. And what does Paul have harsh words for this or nice words?
Yeah.
He doesn't have nice words because it's a harsh thing.
No.
So he says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? He says, oh, I wish that those who unsettled you would emasculate themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, because they're teaching circumcision is necessary for salvation. He goes, well, if cutting off a bit is helpful, maybe they should go all the way.
Yeah, and cut it all off.
That's not nice language.
No.
But he's not dealing with a nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
Harsh language for a harsh situation. Strong words for a situation. But he's talking about heaven or hell.
Yeah.
Salvation, abandoning the gospel. He's not talking about, you know, what do you want for dinner?
Yeah.
Like, it's
very
important.
Vanilla or chocolate ice cream. Either.
Strong language is required.
Yeah.
In Philippians 3, you mentioned, like, he's talking about his righteousness and all his deeds and his big pedigree and his, and his track record and his lineage, and he was Pharisee, he was teacher, he was all these things, and he considers it as rubbish. And so what, you know, the Greek word skubalon, what does that mean? And most Greek definitions or lexicons would say it means like excrement, dung, feces, and some would argue that it's actually very, very offensive.
Yeah, and harsh.
And some would say it's not as offensive. It's hard to know because we're not in that culture.
Yeah.
Like, was that a shocking word or is that... Is that like saying it's like a bowel movement, or did he just swear?
Yeah.
But the point is, he uses a harsh word to describe a harsh thing. And so you see the Bible using language in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not focused on words, but intent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I think, but I think for most of us, so there's a place for harsh words. There's a place for using harsh words to stand against something offensive and abusive. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of speaking truth to power, as people like to say these days. Jesus did that. Paul did that. And using harsh words to deal with harsh things. And we see the Bible using kind of vile words and pictures to describe vile things. So our language should reflect the nature of that thing. And yet we also see a graciousness, mm-hmm. gentleness, sensitivity, love.
Self-control.
Self-control. Now, for most people asking the question these days, what words are appropriate, yeah. I'm guessing it's not because they're trying to speak truth to power mm-hmm. and they are calling out wicked sin in people's lives, yeah. and they're wondering,
they just want to know, when I stub my toe, yeah. am I allowed to yell this, or should I yell that?
I think there are times when we're too nice in our words. Yeah. We don't confront sin. Where there's adultery and evil, we should mm-hmm. use accurate words. Where there's, yeah. you know, abuse, where there's, you know, we shouldn't shy away from calling things what yeah. they are. And that's what I think the Bible's doing. So in certain situations, we use too nice of a word mm-hmm. when a harsher word would be more appropriate. But most of the time, it's because we stub our toe
yeah.
and we want to say, or we're mad at somebody.
Yeah.
So I think going back to those principles, we should watch the corrupting talk and try to control our tongue. Yeah. We should be people of self-discipline. We should be people marked by grace,
yeah.
gentleness, love for our neighbor.
It's about the heart.
So those types yeah. of things. And then focus on that. And I think that's the language we should be using and growing in that and getting the Holy Spirit to help us as we grow in that and try and submit our tongue to the kindness of the Lord.
Yeah, to use it with wisdom. Well, that's should Christians swear on the B-side? And I don't have a yes or a no. I have a follow your heart. Put your heart in the right spot first. Yeah. Don't just follow your heart blindly. No. Don't follow your heart that way. Follow the Spirit's guiding. Go with that. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions, email us at bside@tachurch.ca. Follow us on... Where are we? On Facebook? Follow us. You can follow TA Church on Facebook.
What's subscribe that? To our podcast.
Subscribe to our podcast.
Email us.
Yeah. Subscribe, email.
bside@tachurch.ca.
Have a good week.
Bye.